I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Thinking about what Jesus has done for us. Death is arrested and our life begins. Isn't that awesome? Yes. That is great. So I am very excited as we kick off this summer. We're going to be looking in the Psalms. And a beautiful thing about the Psalms is it's real people going through real life situations. And you know what? God meets them there. God absolutely meets them right there. God's alive. Jesus is alive. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to touch you right where you're at and encourage your heart. I don't know what you're excited about this summer, but you know, maybe summer vacations, or for all of us that are done school, we're free, you know. there's a level of freedom there that's pretty exciting. More than that, man, Jesus, he wants to give you freedom. And he wants to speak into your life. And it was really neat. Psalm 90, I'm going to share this morning. It's been the most meaningful verse in my life here lately has come from Psalm 90. And I'm just excited to share it with you. And Psalm 90, as it says here, it's a prayer of Moses. And sometimes maybe as you find yourself, you know, seeking to walk with God, or maybe just in praying, maybe you don't know how to pray. Well, it's always a good idea if there's someone else's prayer, especially in the good book. You know, you can find that. You can sort of latch onto that and just join in that prayer. And we'll see here as Moses is speaking to the Lord, I'll share with you the first verses and the last verse. So we got the first verse here. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, he writes. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. See, Moses starts here with a clear picture on the eternality of God, the eternal nature of God, that God is everlasting through all generations. Before anything was born, he was and he is. And Moses is starting this prayer with his eyes focused on God. And if you go through the psalm, you'll read the verses in between, you'll see he talks a lot about man and about the humanity of man and the frailty of man and the fact that we're like dust or we're like grass. We're like here today, gone tomorrow. Look good one day, withered the next. That type of thing. And that's what this psalm is. It's a contrast, really, that Moses, in his prayer, you see this contrast between the eternal nature of God and the frailty of man. And he ends with this plea. He ends with this plea. Oh, Lord. He ends with a few more than just those verses, but this is the one that really just jumped out to me. Lord, may the favor of the Lord go before us. May the favor of the Lord rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I don't know where you find yourself in life, but maybe this is a prayer that you want to join with me in just crying out to God for. The Lord wants to speak into your life. I find myself these days, as I often share with you when I get the opportunity here, I often share about the skate park project and what God's doing out there. Because that's a reality of my role here and what's happening in the community. It's a huge project. And it's been awesome to be a part of it. The church has kicked that off, the funding side of it. This is a 10-year project that we've been a part of as a church. But we kicked off the funding thing just about a year and a half ago, two Christmases ago, when the church here gave $27,000. If you know the storyline, that $27,000 was multiplied by other businesses. They added $300,000 to that, which allowed us to go after state grant money, which added another $350,000 to that. We had $750,000 in under a year. And now we're working on this building funding, the brick building that's up there. They're hoping to put that in this summer, but there's some funding needs for that. Well, one of our general contractors, they raised like $200,000, but we needed like another $100,000 in cash. And just so happened that God sent another person our direction. And I was meeting with a funder. You know, this verse, Psalm 90, verse 17, was given to me in my devotions on my YouVersion Bible app, which on my phone, YouVersion, doing one of those little devotionals in there. And Psalm 90 was given to me on Wednesday, May 9th, I believe I have the date right there, just when I was meeting with that other potential funder for our project. I'm telling you, I walked in with just like a confidence that God had a plan. I didn't know what his plan was, but a confidence that he was with me, that he cared about what was going on. And I'm telling you, I prayed this prayer when I saw that prayer. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Lord, may the favor of the Lord go before us. May the favor of the Lord rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. See that idea of establish? What's that? What that means is make our efforts effective and enduring. See, we're so temporal. We can only do so much. But God has a way of turning our efforts and making them effective or enduring beyond our life even, of eternal impact. You know, I asked for $100,000. That person gave us $100,000. We're up over $1 million is raised for this park. Go God, right? It's incredible. It doesn't happen. This normally, it's been a 10-year project. This stuff normally didn't happen. But it's incredible to see God doing it. You know what's even cooler yet? Is the Saturday after, these guys, the Goodlums and a bunch of their buddies, their friends, we went down to Karen University to the jam, the same jam outreach that the middle school here went to last week. They were away. They're going to report on it in 2 weeks here. Well, they do that jam event 2 weeks in a row, and we helped at the first event with the free fall team, the Goodlums, these guys, and the middle school team from the church here helped in the second week. And you know what's incredible is these guys ran that whole thing. I was not on a mic not once, and they ministered to over 300 kids that day, and they did bike tricks, skate tricks. Braxton messed his foot up for him, you know, just throwing it, launching it so high, coming down so hard, and just put it all out there on the line. And then they got up and they shared the gospel. And Braxton got up there and he goes, the joy of, the same joy you experience when you land a trick is the same joy of forgiveness when you find out you're forgiven. Isn't that awesome? And Aaron follows him up with the lost sheep. How Jesus has 99, lost one. What's he do? He goes after the one. These guys totally killed it. They rocked it. They're like enduring work. You know, it's the kind of thing like Lord, raise up these young men to go out there and share the gospel and to preach it to others. It's incredible work of Adam and that team and these guys and how God is working. He's doing more than we often imagine or often can think of or even dream or imagine. And these guys, in the life of this church and the life of the partnership in the skate park, we envisioned young men like this that are willing to stand up for the gospel and use their gifts and abilities for eternal impact. They were a part of a day, they weren't the only ones, but they were a part of a day that saw 57 young children come to know the Lord. And they participated in that. Isn't that incredible? Let's praise God for that, shall we? There's two things I'd love for you to get today. The first was that concept of reflection. Taking the time to reflect on what so many have sacrificed for us, what Jesus has done for us. We have a day off. Reflect on that. Thank God for that. And the second piece is this. What would it look like for you to join in that prayer, in this same prayer? Join in Moses' prayer, in crying out to God, for God to use your very efforts, your very hands and feet, your very level of influence, area of influence, people that you interact with, that his favor would be go before you, that he would establish the work of your hands, that it wouldn't just be small, simple things, but no, that your efforts would have an eternal, enduring impact, even beyond our lives. One more story from the park. We were out there last Sunday. There was over 80 kids out there, or people out there, I made someone count them. Told me it took him 3 times. He got 83. People kept moving. But there was this young man, a Muslim young man, and I've known him from last year too. He's pretty antagonistic about what we're doing, and he sometimes last year more so, not so much this year. He's a little bit better, but he says, "I know your secret." He's telling me, "I know your secret. I know what you're doing out here." I'm like, "It's no secret." We love action sports. We love Jesus, and we tell people about him. We're not hiding anything. He kept trying to find our angle. Like, why are we doing this? And so he starts asking me more questions. He says, "You get paid to do this?" I was like, "Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, it's part of my job here at the church. And so technically I get paid." And he's like, "Ah, now I know why you do this." And I'm like, "Well, I get paid well, but I'm not like getting rich off this thing or anything like this." You know, it's this $1 million, it isn't coming to me. No, it's coming to you guys. It's a park. And he goes, well, what if I tried to convert you? Become a Muslim?" I'm like, "That's cool. Try. I'd love to learn. Educate me. And help me understand." We had an incredible conversation about Jesus then. About, in particular, the idea that he came back to life. Death was arrested. How? Jesus came back to life. He didn't stay in that grave. And I don't know what God's going to do in this young man's life, but I'm telling you, he's working in his life. And we ended that conversation with him looking at another young man saying, he said to this other young man, "You're a Hindu, aren't you?" And he says, "Yes." The other kid said, "Yes." And he's like, "You're not becoming one of them, are you?" And I was like, "Dude, chill. We live in America. You can believe whatever you want, right?" That's who we celebrate in that sense. But God is working. I say that to just show you how these small fingerprints, how the efforts of our body in this community, here's one place where there are these fingerprints of God at work, that he is establishing the work, that he's making it effective and enduring beyond any of us. What would that look like in your life? Big or small thing that you face right now, what would it look like for you to be praying, "God, may the favor of the Lord go rest on us today as a family, on me personally as I walk into this day, into this conversation. Lord, may you establish the work of my hands. Make them effective. Make them enduring. Bring eternal significance into this conversation, into this action, into this desire to love. I'm going to lay down my life for someone else. Lord, may that effort have eternal weight." That's what I see Moses crying out to the Lord for. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. He really does. He wants to work in your life, big or small. And I'm excited as this summer, get into the Psalms. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not getting into his word, you're not allowing him to speak directly into your life. I'd encourage you to do that. I mean, we're going to end with one more story. We have a young lady, Kate, I'm going to invite up here. We're going to do a little interview. And she has just an awesome, awesome story of how God has worked in her life over this last year. And the cool part is we had a part in that as well. So Kate has been... Kate's from Kenya, and she's been serving here at the church for the last year. She's been living with the Watermans, a family from our church, and serving in the 4 and 5-year-olds during Sunday school, our children's church down there. And like I said, just another cool example of how God is working today. And so I wanted to introduce and have you guys meet Kate. So sadly, she's heading back to Kenya here early June, so we're going to miss her here shortly. But if you don't mind giving her a warm welcome, would you do that? So I thought we'd start, Kate, with how you ended up here.
So I came to the States through a program called IVEP, International Volunteer Exchange Program, which is under the whole Mennonite Central Committee. Mm-hmm. So the program is run by MCC. So the program helps young adults who have either finished their college or are still in college to go to different countries and get to experience how God can work through you in a different environment. And it also helps you to expand your experience in whatever you're studying. Like for me, I studied education, English literature. So as I'm here, I've been teaching at Quakertown Christian School. So as much as they bring you to a different country, they also make sure to give you a placement that has a relation to what you're studying in college. And the program runs for a whole year. So right now I'm in my 8th month.
So she has been over here for 8 months, you said. Yes. But she had a special person that helped her get here in the form of her mom, right?
Yes. So in life, we have this one person that will push you to your goals, to reach your goals. We may have goals, but at some point you need just one person to pump you up to get there. And that has been my mom for almost the whole of my life. And I have given what I've experienced this year. I've also learned never to question what she has in mind at some point, because it always works. Like anything she'll have, never question it. It always works. So we had talked about the program, and my mom had talked about it to me, and I was to apply for the program this year. So I was to be a volunteer this year. But one day when I was in college and my mom calls me and she's like, well, do you have classes on this and this day? And I told her, no, I'm actually free. And she says, okay, so I'm sending you some money. You have to travel to this town. You have an interview. And she had applied for the program. We had talked that I was to apply for it next year, but she went ahead and applied for it. And she told me, so you need to get ready. And, of course, thanks to Google, I had to be ready through the help of Google. Because I had no idea. All I knew was the name of the program. I had no idea of anything else that they do. And you need to know such things when you're going to an interview. So, she did that. And I went, when I was going, I went with the mindset of, Mom did this, so I'm just going to make, because I want to make her happy, and she sent the money, so I might as well just go. But I was not really, I went there, but I really didn't think I would get it, because I was still in college, because we had planned that because at that time I was in my last year of college, so I was like, I was to finish college, then apply for this. Mm-hmm. But I'm just doing it because it's her, and you never question mom. So I went in and I got accepted, which was changed everything now. And now I'm here, and I'm glad that she did that, because the experience that I've had this whole year has just been awesome. And I feel like it would never have been the same if I decided to apply for it next year.
If I could talk to your mom, I would. That'd be a fun conversation, I think. You know, just trying to understand. She just sent you to America. Like, she's like, you're out of here. You're going. But that's neat. That's really cool. But you shared a little bit how God has worked in your life, being a part of the church here and being in the States here. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. For some very months of time in my life, going to church has been a little bit different, because I would go to church, one, because mom wants us to go to church. It's a family thing. You have to go. And the second thing will be, I love listening to gospel music. I have grown up listening to Don Moen's songs. I know all of them. I can sing to almost all the hymns in a hymn book. So I have grown up to learn singing and just being uplifted with gospel. So that has been how God works in my life, through the songs. So for a great amount of time, I have been going to church just for the music, not the preaching. Not that it's not good. I will sit there because, of course, mom wants you to said it the whole time. It's a family. So I have been going, but I would only concentrate on the music, for the music. That's the only part that would get me. And after that, it was funny because at times I will sit during the preaching and sing a song in my mind just to help me get through the whole, because I'll just sing a song in my mind through the whole preaching just to move it along.
We like honesty around here.
But the different thing was when I came here, my first service, and when we walked in and then listening to the songs, which were now different from what I've been, like, in our church, it's very different from how we are used to specific hymns, because it's Mennonite a little bit still in the old Mennonite way. So we are used to singing specific hymns. There's a specific way in which we carry out our services. So I got here, and the songs were just amazing. And I'm like, I have been waiting for this for my whole life. And then they stop singing, and now they go to the preaching. I'm like, okay. And the preaching starts, and for a second in my mind, I'm like, I'm actually listening to this. And that was surprising to me, that I'm actually listening and I'm getting what is being talked about. I'm actually relating to what is being talked, what the preacher was saying, and that was so new for me. I would never, I would really never concentrate. I would just be seated there, look. I would look like I'm concentrating, but my mind will be somewhere else. But
is that you?
But since I've been here, like, even when we come, my host family, I always come with my host dad, Wayne, and I'll tell him, I don't want to miss church, so could you please make sure you're in time, we get there in time. And that is so new for me, because I'm now listening to the preaching and I get a lot from it, which I've been missing my whole life. I've been missing all of this, and having that experience has just been awesome. And my prayer too, I have been used to a specific kind of prayer. I repeat the same words, the same format every single day. And at some point you're praying, and then I kind of, at the back of my mind, I question myself, is this wrong? Should I mix a little, like add a few words to this routine? And I kind of, is God bored with my routine and all that? But at times I also kind of tell myself, but the good thing is that I'm praying, so I might still be on the right track. At least I'm praying. So in the whole time that I've been here, my prayer has also evolved in a way, because I now take longer praying. And there's this move I get when I pray, which I never used to. And I was just telling him that my mom will be so happy if she would hear what I'm saying right now. Like, she will go to the whole village and just brag about it. My daughter finally. That's why she will be so happy just to hear me say this.
That's neat. So the moral of the story, we should send our children somewhere. I think that's not really. That's neat. Well, it's neat to see how God has grown you. And there's another really cool connection that happened. You share the story about your dream and how that came to pass.
So a month before I came, I play Ultimate Frisbee back at home. And a month before
She plays on the national team, Ultimate Frisbee. Who would have known? We should be doing the game outside this afternoon.
So a month before I came, we had an African, all-African championship in the Ultimate Frisbee, and where the event was being held was at a school called Roslyn Academy. So my friends and I, my teammates, I'm the only one who takes education in the whole team. So they made this funny joke, and they're like, this is a really good school. You should come and teach here, okay? This would be a really good place for you to teach. And I remember us laughing and like, oh yeah, that will never happen. But it's good to dream at times. It's good to have dreams. And last Christmas, actually the first time when I came, the first service, the Watermans introduced me to Pastor Dave, and I remember he mentioned that he has a sister back in Kenya, but I think I was still learning the whole new environment, so I'm sorry, but I'm not saying I didn't listen to most of the conversation, but there's something I missed in what he mentioned. So on Christmas, his mom approached me, and we were talking, and she told me she has a daughter back in Kenya who is a teacher. And so I asked her, which school does she teach at? And she tells me, Roslyn Academy. And tell her, can you repeat the name of the school, please? Just to make sure I got it right.
She was listening then,
I realized that this is a school my friends and I were joking about. And I after the conversation, I went to Carol, my host mom, and told her, I am going to smile at Pastor Dave every single Sunday. I will make sure wherever he passes, I'll be there and I'll be smiling until he talks to his sister and gets me a job there. So that happened, and I got to him and told him, can you please talk to your sister? I really want to teach at this school. And he goes right ahead and says, okay, let's send a text right now. And I was like, okay, this is actually happening. I was just taking a risk. I didn't think it would happen, but he sent an email to his sister. The sister got me touched to the principal. I sent in my application, and I go back home in July, and I start working at Rosin in August.
Isn't that awesome?
We are so excited with you. That is just amazing. That's like a miracle, literally. All those different connections and pieces and how you ended up at the Watermans and at East Swamp Church, for goodness sakes. And talking to my mom. So there you go. It's that whole mom theme. That's what it comes down to. It's just the moms. But that is so neat. Well, I wanted to share your story because it's just so cool to see how God has worked. And we want to pray for you. And just as you go out, that God's favor would just continue to go before you. And that, like, he would establish your efforts and your work. And who knows what God has planned for you, but he's got a plan. And that's just our prayer. So will you join me in praying for Kate? So, God, I thank you so much for how you've worked in her life. The gift that she has been to us this last year, serving our families and our children. I thank you for the Watermans and the gift they have been to her as well. And Lord, we just praise you for how you're working in her life. And you have orchestrated her steps here for a reason. And so we just are excited with her and just praising you with her and just looking forward to what you're going to do in and through her life. And just pray that as she goes forward, Lord, that her efforts would be established by your hand and that your nature would go before her in all of this, and you would just bless her in that. So thank you so much for her, and just go before her. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's give Kate and God a huge round of applause. Thank you so much.